President Trump is voicing more support today for the plan Republicans in the House have drawn up to replace Obamacare. That bill has dominated the week in politics, but there is much more to talk about as well in our weekly roundtable.
Joining us, Juana Summers, politics editor at CNN. Hi, Juana.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And Rick, start with the latest on health care. What are the tensions between the White House and Republicans, House members and other House members who are Republicans? I mean, especially today, we're hearing hints that the White House is saying they might make changes in the Medicaid rollback. So what's going on?
Fascinating dynamic, because you hear from the White House that, yes, they're willing to negotiate changes, but you hear from Capitol Hill, no, this is the bill. Paul Ryan out there in professor mode this week talking about it. And this is not a starting point as far as the House is concerned, but talking to several people that have stakes in this game and members of Congress as well, they feel like the White House is sending a much different signal. They're not clear that the White House even is 100% clear on what's happening on Capitol Hill. This becomes now a true test of Donald Trump as a legislator, a deal maker. Can he actually get something done, given all of the very complicated cross currents?
Well, that's my next question, Juana. Is it Donald Trump's health care bill or is it Paul Ryan's health care bill?
That is a great question, Jeremy. It doesn't seem like anybody on Capitol Hill or in the White House wants to own this thing. As you noted, House Speaker Paul Ryan, they've said Ryan care. He's pushed back at that assertion. You've had a White House official say that President Trump doesn't want this called Trump care. And I think that's one of the things that will make this bill perhaps a little bit difficult, although it does seem to be moving through Congress, is that it's really unclear who's taking ownership of it and its future. And regardless of who owns it, the fact of the matter is the Republican leadership and the president have painted themselves a very narrow path, given that they have some infighting within their own party. They've got major health association groups that aren't lined up with them. That makes it really hard to do major overhaul like what the president and his allies want.
Well, here's House Speaker Ryan just today on the Hugh Hewitt radio show saying everything rides on this bill's passage.
This is momentum killing. If we don't do this and reduce or get rid of the $1 trillion tax increases in Obamacare, that just puts tax reform $1 trillion further out of our reach. So there's a lot that rides on this.
Well, and Rick, we've got some dollars being thrown around there, big dollars, but we still haven't heard from the Congressional Budget Office what this will cost, and we may soon, next week.
We don't know how much it will cost. We also don't know how many people would gain or lose coverage under this, which is pretty extraordinary. We've heard the White House say that they're already minimizing the impact of the Congressional Budget Office, that nonpartisan arm that gives these estimates. But they are going full steam ahead because they realize that time is not their friend. The more that this gets opened up for scrutiny, the more people ain't take aim at it, they will find things that they don't like. And this is a very complicated three-pronged strategy that the White House and Capitol Hill have put together, and they're seeing it fall apart, really, with people aiming from all sides.
You know, we spoke with Congressman Tom Garrett today, who is a member of the House Freedom Caucus, which is generally against this Republican plan, and I asked him if he thought it was possible that at the end of the day, they just end up with Obamacare because they don't pass anything. And he said, yeah, that's in the realm of possibility. Juana, is that possible that we just at the end of the day, they can't get together on these bills and it ends up with Obamacare?
I think what we're seeing right now is how it's very easy to come up with ideas and policy proposals, and that even when, as Republicans do right now, have full control of government, it's really hard to get things done like health care. And I think if you ask a number of the congressman's colleagues in the House Freedom Caucus, they say that the Trump bill is exactly Obamacare. It's Obamacare light, so not too much daylight between what President Obama did and what the president is suggesting now.
Yeah. Well, there have been some awkward moments, you know, in the discussion of this. One Republican rep asked, really, do men have to pay for prenatal care? This was during one of those overnight sessions. And of course, there was a lot of discomfort in the chambers there because that's an old conversation. Yeah, we all pay for everybody's health care. You know, that's how we do it. We pool it. And then there was another moment when House Oversight Committee Chair Jason Chaffetz on CNN's New Day was asked about how low-income Americans would fare under the GOP plan.
And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
Now, Chaffetz later walked back some of these remarks, but people went crazy on social media. Rick, you probably saw people were posting pictures of their elderly sick relatives with their oxygen tanks and their iPhones, you know, indicating they needed both. Philip Bump wrote a column today in The Washington Post about how this is an old bugaboo, you know, making it about the poor making bad decisions, and that's why they're sick. And just your thoughts.
I think it's a misunderstanding of what it means to be working poor in America. And I think it showed bad judgment in terms of a comment to make. And I think where it becomes more problematic for Republicans is that this will impact people. There are millions of people who are now covered under Obamacare that will lose their coverage. There'll be winners in this as well, but there will be people that come out as losers. And there's no way to actually save money in the system and get rid of the individual mandate and rein in Medicaid without impacting actual people. Mm-hmm. And I've been struck by how much this has been about dollars and cents and numbers and big systemic things and not about individuals. And I think that's a problem in the salesmanship, because there will be names and faces associated with the people impacted by Obamacare. Whether or not they have cell phones, this is going to be a big problem for people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know this feels like it happened a year ago at this point, but it was only last Saturday that President Trump said that he was the target, that said that he had been wiretapped by President Obama. He didn't have any evidence to support that. And for several days in a row, White House spokesman Sean Spicer struggled to explain whether Trump was the target of any investigation. Here's Spicer yesterday in an exchange with Margaret Brennan of CBS News.
I'm not aware of it, but that's my point, is that we're not aware of anything. And
so
that's
you've never been told by the Justice Department that there is no investigation?
No.
So there might be one. You just don't know.
No, I said, you're right. I said I'm not aware, and we're not aware. And that's why we want the House and the Senate to do what the president has asked of them, to look into this. But no, we're not aware.
To discover if there is an investigation. That's part of the
probe. No, to look into the situation.
Now, earlier in the week, Spicer said the president had absolutely no regrets about raising the wiretapping allegation. Juana, how is this playing out for the administration?
Well, from evidence of that clip, not very well. So far, the president is really out on his own on this one. You've heard Press Secretary Sean Spicer say that in his position, you know, that's not information he'd be privy to. Other White House aides and top officials saying that they don't have any information. Top leaders on both sides of the aisle of the intelligence committees have not brought forward any evidence to kind of substantiate the claims that the president made last week. And over the last week, we have not heard from the president on these claims since.
Haven't heard
tweets.
Much from him at all this week, really.
That's absolutely right. I believe a couple of moments ago, he was meeting with lawmakers over health care, and a White House reporter attempted to ask him questions about this very issue and did not get a response from the president. So it's been a really quiet week for him. But I think there is certainly concern on both sides of the aisle that this is something that Congress should investigate. It's their job to figure out if, in fact, this happened. It is stunning. If, in fact, it did not happen, it is a sizable accusation against the president's predecessor, one I don't think we've seen the likes of in recent history.
Well, Rick Klein, maybe his aides told him that Twitter was broken, but it has been a quiet week. But to Jeremy's point, so much going on. It is a new administration, and that does happen with new administrations. But this week, the president also unveiled his revised travel ban. Six states promptly sued. And then EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt is being criticized for his interview yesterday on CNBC. He was asked whether carbon dioxide, as most scientists say, is a primary contributor. In other words, man-made pollution is a primary contributor to climate change.
No, I think that measuring with precision human activity on the climate is something very challenging to do, and there's tremendous disagreement about the degree of impact. So no, I would not agree that it's a primary contributor to the global warming that we see.
And Rick, not only that, someone who is, you know, not in favor of his own agency, but this seems all these things seem to be under the radar.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that, yes, he puts him at odds with the official position of his agency. And I would think the vast majority of the employees at the EPA. I'm not entirely surprised by it, just because of previous things that he has said about this. And I do think, and back to the point about last weekend, that is a big deal. And I think it was my colleague, Jonathan Carl, who asked the president a little while ago, any proof on the wiretapping? There was no answer. I don't think lack of answers should paper over the fact that what the president alleged, apparently without any evidence, was a very, very big deal. And whether it's Congress or the administration, both really, we shouldn't lose sight of that. And because there will be other flashy things that happen, and there's so much with his White House, they've shown that chaos is their brand, and they will continue to create moments around the edges. I think this is a big deal.
Well, speaking of lack of answers, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, is apparently going on a trip to Asia next week with no reporters. Juana?
Right. I think this is just yet another example of seeing how this administration's relationship with the press will play out. Much like we're seeing the Secretary of State travel with no reporters, we've seen the president not take questions from reporters. And there have been questions of access, I think, surrounding this president and this administration since its onset.
Yeah, well, we got about a minute here. Rick Klein, you were talking about there might be other flashy, you know, shiny stories. What do you make of the CNN report that the FBI is still investigating an unusual number, something like 2,800 computer connections between the Trump Organization and a Russian bank.
Yeah, and we've heard about this computer connection in the past. It got people concerned during the campaign. There's also the revelation that Michael Flynn, the now fired national security advisor, was actually on contract working for the Turkish government. I feel like there's a drip to this story, and everything individually could have innocuous explanations, but there are serious things here, and I actually think the next week or two are going to bring some major revelations on all of these storylines regarding foreign ties of the Trump campaign and the Trump government.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I now get up at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. That's Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, Juana Summers, politics editor at CNN. Thank you both.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.